Well, praise you, Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Bless the Lord God. Bless the Lord God. Well, there's interesting things going on in the world, folks. And you know, I want to read you a scripture from 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. Now, if you haven't read the bulletin this morning, you need to read it. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. In the last days, perilous times will come. Now, it's interesting, and it's kind of fits in with what Scott's already said this morning. You know, over the past few years, we hear every once in a while, you know, just every few days, in Baghdad or Iraq or those countries over there, some suicide bomber blows himself up and kills 20, 25, 50 people. Afghanistan, Pakistan. And we hear it and we think, well, there they are, they're at it again. And we don't think too much about it. But then here all at once, news comes on and the terrorists have attacked Paris. Now that's a different story. That's not the ones over there that are always constantly fighting with one another. They've attacked Paris. Now it's different. And like I said in the bulletin, it doesn't compare with the damage that was done to 9/11 back in 2001. But it's made a statement. And you see the forces behind that really, truly believe they are doing God's will. They are being faithful to Allah. They are doing what the Quran tells them to do. Subject the world to God, Allah, by whatever measures it takes. It's your course, it's your destiny. It's your duty. And if you're killed in combat, you have a wonderful set of treasures waiting for you in the afterlife. So they don't care to die. Dying doesn't bother them. I guess this message is as much about watch and pray as it is about anything else. And I'm not going to take too long, but I want to give you some statistics. I want you to understand what you're dealing with. I want us all to understand what we're dealing with. Do you know we are in a country where can't remember exactly where it was, but some little kid came to church with a cross on their shirt. And they made him take it off. He said, you can't wear that. But at the same time, somewhere in the, where are you going to get your driver's license? You have your picture made. Well, because for religious reasons, this Muslim lady wanted to keep her head and everything. They let her. Because, now there's a preference here, folks. And I want to share some things with you. This is just eye-opening. This is just things we're going to face. It's going to happen. It's coming. And you can't pray it away. The tribulation is set up. The Antichrist is in motion. The beast is on his way. And you can't change it. Muhammad, the founder of Islam, was a Christian. At first. And in his zeal for God, he began to get revelations of truth that eventually ended up as a book of scripture. Now, on Wednesday night, for a while, we studied different groups of religious people. Book of Mormon. And the Mormons. They came forth out of Joseph Smith's desire for deeper revelations of God. The scriptures weren't enough. And so an angel of light appeared to him out in the woods one day and showed him where there were two plates with laws written on them. And nobody ever saw them, and nobody ever saw them. But he convinced everybody that they were true, and now we've got the Jesus Christ Latter-day Saints religion that's very strong, very well-grounded, but very false. And so, what says to me, and then you can go into the Jehovah's Witnesses, same thing. Charles Taze Russell got some revelation, brought it forth, and now it exists as Jehovah's Witness or the Watchtower Society. Not scriptural. They don't believe in our Bible. They've got another one. It's the New World Translation. Everything says everything that agrees with what they are teaching. But that was back in the 1800s that Russell and Smith got their revelation. Muhammad got his revelation back in the 700s. And he tried to get the church in his area, which was around Mecca and Medina, in the Iraq area of today, tried to get them to accept what he was bringing forth, and they wouldn't do it. So he got him an army together and marched on Medina and took it over and made it Islamic. He made it Muslim by force. Well, that worked so well, they just continued. And of course, like all the other earthly, worldly, religious leaders, except one, he died and stayed dead. They have his grave site. But his vision didn't die because he had trained some of his other followers, and they picked it up and they began to move out and they took over the whole area over there in the Middle East. They took it over, including Jerusalem and that area around there, even though at that time there wasn't any Israel, but there was still a city of Jerusalem. And they conquered that whole area. And one of the reasons for the Crusades, and you know, that's not a highlight in the history of the church. There were some really ungodly things that took place in the Crusades. But their main goal, their objective, was to free Jerusalem and that country from the Muslims. None of them had much success at that time. It took them years. But they were doing so well, I'm talking about the Muslims, that they decided, hey, if we got this area, let's just take Europe too. And so they marched toward Europe. They got as far as in what is now France, near Poitiers, France, close to Tours, France. And an individual, I don't know if you remember, some of you older ones that are in here, some of the younger ones, the way they've done history, I don't even know if they've even talked about people like this. But a man named Charles Martel, anybody in here remember him? I remember him. Of course, I majored in history, but Charles Martel was a Frankish, and that's what they call the people that lived in that area. They call them Frankish. He was a Frankish mayor. He was the grandfather of Charlemagne. Now, you recognize that name? He's the one that solidified the area of France and made it a great nation later on down the road. But Charles Martel was his grandfather. And he raised an army and defeated a large Muslim army under the leadership of Ad ar-Rahman. On October the 10th, 732. October the 10th, 32. A few years ago. But that battle, the Battle of Tours, goes down in history as the battle that saved Europe from becoming Muslim. Had the Muslims won that battle, they would have taken Europe, and Europe would have been Muslim. Christianity would have been shoved out into the Atlantic Ocean. But it was such a victory, and the odds were so greatly in favor of the Muslims that it went down at the pen of the scholars of that day as a miracle for Christianity. 732, October the 10th. But there's one thing that you've got to understand. The Muslims are persistent. They did not give up, nor have they given up. And how long has it been since 732? 1,300 years? Approximately. And they just kept doing what they were doing and doing what they were doing. And churning up things and moving east. And many of the Khans or Muslim. I don't know. I didn't look to see whether Kublai Khan or Genghis Khan were Muslims, but I mean, you know, those kind of people that in the Eastern world, they were the dominant people. They were the rulers in charge. And wherever they conquered, it became Muslim. Then they asked the people what they wanted. They just told them, it's either you convert to Muslim or you die. And that was their philosophy, was their philosophy, has been their philosophy, and still is their philosophy. Well, in the 1600s, here they came again. Towards Egypt, toward Europe. <clears throat> 140,000 Muslim soldiers under Kara Pasha Mustafa. And in 1683, they laid siege to the city of Vienna in Austria. And there was a Polish knight named Jan Sobieski. They didn't want to see Europe fall. So he got 30,000 soldiers together. 30,000. And there was already 11,000 from various places. There was 11,000 already in the Vienna area. And so he took his 30,000 troops and joined them. So that made him 41,000. 41,000. What's the ratio of 41,000 to 140,000? Sane people don't engage in battles with the odds like that. According to military strategists. You don't go out here with 30,000 people and attack an army with 140,000. But they had to do it or watch Europe again fall under the control of Muslims. Well, they won the Battle of Vienna. They routed 140,000 Muslims, sent them hightailing it back towards Turkey, drove them out of Europe, and it was such a victory that Sobieski became known as the Christian Braveheart. And here's an interesting thing. The reason they were able to do what they did, of course, and I believe the hand of God was there, but from a natural point of view, they were able to do what they did because those soldiers knew the nature of the Muslims. That they were barbaric heathens with only one goal and purpose, and that was to take you over and make you live like they believe that you should live in order to be in favor with Allah. And so they knew that there was no negotiation. No negotiation. You either fight and win, or you die. It's not a fight a battle, and if we lose, we go home. And here's something else that's interesting that they did. They weeded out all of the civilian Muslims and gave them a choice. Become a Christian. Go home. That was the second choice. Pack up and get out of here. Go back to where you came from. Or die. Now that sounds harsh. But you know why they did that? Because they knew the nature of Islam. They knew the nature of the Muslims. We're not going to negotiate. We're not interested in living at peace with you. We want to rule you. We want you to be what we are. And we don't give you any choice. Now here we are again. Same group. Same situation. But Europe's done differently than they did back then. They've allowed them to come in, move in, and in some places take over. Now, I'm just telling you what we're facing as people. I'm not telling you this to make you afraid because I agree with what Scott said. I got put in the newsletter this morning, my future's secure. But I'm talking about what we're going to see, what is going to happen. And it's going to happen because of political correctness. But even political correctness is leaning to the left, because Christians can't be politically correct. The only way a Christian can be politically correct is quit being a Christian. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We don't want to offend them. We don't want to hurt their feelings. Well, you know, I'm sorry, but they want to kill us. Or at least make slaves out of us. And that's what they're after. And you know this, the group over there in, are supposed to be extremists. Well, from what I've shared with you, you know, there's been a lot of extremists around for a long time. And you know, the non-extremists are supposed to be a vast majority. The non-extremist Muslims. They're supposed to outnumber the terrorists by millions. Looks like they are really interested in getting rid of these extremists, don't it? I'll tell you one. A moderate Muslim that doesn't believe in jihad is like a moderate Christian that doesn't believe in Jesus coming again. Oh, I'm a Christian, but I just don't believe Jesus is coming again, you know. I'm a Christian, but I don't know whether Jesus rose from the dead or not. When you know what you know and you believe what you believe, you stand on it. It's the same way with the Muslims. And they know what they believe, and they know what their vision, and they know what their purpose is, and they know what their directive is from Allah, and that is to make the world Muslim. And it doesn't have to be done nice and politely. You don't have to talk them into changing. You don't have to witness to other people and say, oh, it's wonderful being part of Islam. You know, the way they, well, of course, they've got them brainwashed, and that's what they think they're supposed to be, but the way they treat women, women can't be all that happy being Muslim. If they've ever seen a glimpse of what other women are. But like Laverne said this morning, when this group hit Friday night, they hit the places that were that are considered to be ungodly. You know, the sporting event, the rock concert, the bar. They all represented things that Islam doesn't permit. And some of these people in the media that crucify Christians and give badges to Muslims, you're going to find out, if they get their way, just exactly what the Muslims are going to put up with when it comes to mass media. Be a radical change in what mass media is allowed to put out. Most of the TV programs, they be gone. Hollywood, they'll probably bulldoze it down. And yet the support's coming from these places. It's crazy. The world is in total lunacy. But you know, the scripture says, it teaches that before the end, there will be a one world religion. And I've, through the years, saw different people having their opinion of what it's going to be. And I can remember a time years ago when the forerunner, you know, and if you took a poll of where the world religion was going to be, that was going to rise up the Roman Catholic Church was the culprit. And that was by people that didn't feel like that the Roman Catholic Church was Christian. And that's stupid. But anyway, that was the forerunner. But I've been saying, for the last several years, that if it were a horse race, I'd put my money on Islam. You know, it doesn't even say that the world has to accept this one world religion, you know, like we've all been converted. It doesn't say that. It just says there'll be one world religion. And if you got enough clout to take over everything militarily and violently, and then just pronounce the world religion is Islam. That's all it takes. Doesn't have to take convincing the world that you're right. It just takes convincing the world that you're the strongest. And you know, when all this happens, it says that there will be, well, let me just read it if I can find it again. The Battle of Armageddon. West of Jordan is a plain of Jezreel called Megiddo. The military forces of the beast and false prophet will be totally destroyed by the return of Christ. But here's what I want you to... Anti-Semitism, that means Jewish hatred, hatred of the Jews. Anti-Semitism will reach a level not previously seen in history. The kings of the earth will gather against national Israel in great numbers, and only Christ's return to earth destroys them. Anti-Semitism will reach a level not previously seen in history. It reached a pretty high level during World War II. Now, here we are in 2015. And who is screaming for the annihilation of Israel. Who is screaming for the annihilation of Israel? Iran. And all of their cohorts. And all the other countries, Palestinians. All of these people, they want Israel destroyed. They want the Jews annihilated. They want to push them off. There is no negotiation. You remember when the president was negotiating with Iran about the nuclear weapons? And they made it very clear that there was no negotiation as far as the way they viewed Israel and the future they saw for Israel. They never once in there would agree to include, okay, ease up a little bit on Israel. No. We want to see Israel annihilated. Now the point I'm getting ready to make is this. Who is screaming for the annihilation of Israel? It's the Muslims. Basically, it's the Muslims. You trace them back, go through history step by step, you come back to Isaac and Ishmael. Abraham's boys. Isaac, the son of promise. Ishmael, the son of the flesh. The roots of the Arabs and the Jews. So close in nature and yet so violently opposed. That's what we're living in. That's the kind of world we're looking at. What's going to end it? What's going to make a change? When are the Islamic terrorists going to stop? They're not. They're not. Trying to negotiate with them, and I put this in the newsletter, trying to negotiate with them is like trying to negotiate with a hungry lion. You're at dinner and you can't talk him out of it. What's going to stop it? And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations. And he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the birds that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather together for the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses, and of those who sat on them, in the flesh of all people, free and slave, both small and great. And I saw the beast, the kings of the earth, and their armies gathered together to make war against him who sat on the horse and against his army. Then the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet who worked signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone, and the rest were killed with the sword which proceeded from the mouth of him who sat on the horse, and all the birds were filled with her flesh. Something's coming. And I'll tell you what, just like Laverne said this morning, that song, when we started singing it, it was back during the, back in the 70s. The hippies were, and a war was going on in Vietnam and all the mess that was going on at that time. And we, you know, we heard it and we started saying, Jesus is coming soon. Well, a little while later, we found out that was written back during World War II. Because that's what they thought then. But it wasn't bad enough then. Even though there was an attempt to annihilate Jewish nation. Wasn't a nation then, didn't have any boundaries. It was just Jews living all over the world, particularly in Europe and Russia and that area. And millions of them were murdered. And now, let me make a speculation here. Why did ISIS attack Paris instead of attacking Tel Aviv? Or one of the other Israeli cities. Why'd they attack Paris? First of all, I think because they thought that that would get the attention of the world. And it did. The second reason, I believe they were afraid to. Because had they done that in Tel Aviv, yesterday we would have heard in the news that the newly formed ISIS state had just been wiped off the face of the earth. France wouldn't do it, but Israel would have. Because Israel knows what's at stake. And they are still God's people. So just keep looking up. Just keep looking up and don't fear. But keep everything, I mean, you know, keep it in perspective. Don't let stuff slip by you. And one day you say, I didn't know this was going to happen. We haven't seen anything yet of what's going to happen. Because we have two forces that are revving up. Yeah.
And since we're not there, they don't think they'll go to those extremes.
Right.
And they can't get the message.
They're trying to negotiate. They're trying to say, oh, well, you know, if we'll be good to them, they'll quit. They can't quit. They're under a commission. Their God's told them to take the world. They haven't got it yet. They're not going to settle down. And stop. What do? We watch and pray. And make sure we're not deceived by something. And if it gets to the point where it's going to cost me my life to be a Christian, then it's going to, that's the way it's going to be. That's right. Yes.
I
Yeah, you may have to. I mean, you know, I didn't say I was going to lay down and let them cut my head off. I will have exhausted all of my resources if it gets to that. You know, if I hear they're coming down the road, I'm not just going to sit down and say, okay, well, you know, there's nothing we can do. We're going to cut our heads off. Now, I'm expecting help from my neighbors. Yeah, the ones on both sides of me. In case I don't know, Josh and Heather live on one side of me, and Ricardo and Marion live on the other. So we got Rocky Hill covered, folks. Yeah, we got Rocky Hill covered. But I'm not sowing fear. I'm sowing wisdom. Don't just sit there and say, oh, this will blow over. It's not going to blow up before it blows over. Let's stand. Your redemption draweth nigh. And the white horse symbolizes victory. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for the hope that we have in Jesus Christ, that heaven and earth will pass away, but your word will not pass away. We thank you, Lord God, that your kingdom lasts forever. That as part of your kingdom, Lord God, we have nothing to fear or dread. So as we go out this week, Lord God, help us to be an encouragement to everybody that we come in contact with, that we don't get down in the ditch and moan and groan with them, that we realize that we serve a God that's more than enough. We thank you, Lord God, for your faithfulness, for being with us this week, for strengthening us, Lord God. And thank you for the victory we have in Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. God bless you.